that.
Fire Rock Pale Ale.
Basic Miller Lite. Reminds me of you got the Foo Fighters. It reminds me of that story that David Grohl told on was it Conan O'Brien?
What story was that?
When he was on Saturday Night Live and Christopher Walken was asking him how to introduce them. He was mostly Saturday Night Live.
I never heard that.
He's like, yeah, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, the Foo Fighters. And it was just like, it was just the way he said it was. He just won. Song.
Oh, is it looping it? Oh, damn it.
Is it looping it? I thought it would fade out.
I thought
me you too. Just keep it playing at a low volume. This is a nice song. Well, thank you.
Stupid, not stupid.
We're having glitches.
Us not having a producer.
Yeah, us apply for jobs.
Doing this independently. Yes.
Yeah, we were getting applications for producers, but they just keep sending us dick pics. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's not part of the job.
I've only gotten a few.
You only did.
And nothing impressive either. So,
no.
Keep it up.
I give my standard response. I tell them, where's the rest of it? That's what I say to them.
I'm not been impressed yet.
No. What's that? What would possess a perfect stranger to send their genitals to somebody they have no idea? Hey,
I kind of have a feeling that people who randomly send them are probably sending ones that don't belong to them. Like maybe they're sending ones that they found on the internet, pictures like of dicks they found on the internet. How would you feel if like you were, a woman and you were flirting with a guy online and he sent you a dick pic and it was somebody else's dick he sent you a picture of? Well, how would you'd be like, wait, what I signed up for.
Wait, hang on. This is black. You're not. This isn't you.
This is the wrong color penis.
Hey, wait a second here.
I thought when I saw your white face that you'd also have a black wiener, and I was not sure how you were pulling this off.
He's biracial, just that part of him, right? On that note, thank you for joining us on the Sunday Stew Pot. We are having fun here, drinking beers and hanging out and talking about dick pics. It's a fun time. Mm-hmm. Before we get started here, I definitely want to go back, and I realize two mistakes I made, and I want to correct them. Let me get my two in the camera right there. One was when we were talking about the seven deadly sins, I said lust twice when I should have added sloth, which is just laying around doing nothing, which is very easy to do nowadays when you just sit around on the couch and you just look at your phone and scroll through reels that I make and you make and we keep posting. And the other one was the story about the boycott Target. They're the rappers. I have the artist's name. I got it from Breitbart.com. And I hope I say this correctly, it's Forgiato Blow and Jimmy Levy are the artists, and it's still number one on Apple iTunes. Boycott Target. So that's, I don't even know what that's the name of the song. It's still number one. So I did that. And another thing we've got to
talk
about.
Maybe we should have, if you knew you were going to do that, we should pick that as our song that we were going to start the show with.
I don't have it. I don't know it. I never heard it. I don't care. I don't listen to rap music. I'm old. Come on, man. Not a hip hop guy. If you did Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight, maybe we should do that as an opener one time.
Bro, I was talking about that yesterday with my friend Dante because I was saying, being like a little bit of a 90s hip hop head, the Rapper's Delight, there was a remake of it in the 90s done by Redman and other dudes that were in the song. And I was like, that to me is my version of Rapper's Delight, just the same way. Like, because that was the song I was into that when that came out.
Yeah.
I knew it was a cover, but I wasn't like nuts about the cover because I didn't really know it that well. And like that was the Rapper's Delight that I memorized and sang along to because the music video used to come on all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know the song. Yeah, I know what you're talking. I can vaguely remember, but we'll have to look that up. But thank you, people. Thank you for coming along. And another thing we're going to talk about today, which another tragedy happened in the world of professional wrestling this week. We lost a great one. We did, the Iron Sheik, and it is horrible. And the last I checked, according to the New York Times, he was 81 years old, but there's no cause of death has been published yet at this time, but he was having health problems. But at 81, wrestlers will have health problems. It's going to happen.
Long life. That is a long life for us.
My father-in-law is 88 and a half almost. He'll be 88 and a half at the end of July. Yeah.
Well, he got to have multiple careers. Like he was a Olympian and then he was a pro wrestler. And then he was beyond that, but beyond that, he was a good coach
he was a coach of the U.S. Olympic team. U.S. national team. That's where Vern Gagne met him.
What an incredible life, man. And then he got a whole second half, like a second lease on everything when he like got famous for his shoot interviews and the viral stuff. Like he kind of was like, he kind of had his finger on the pulse in the beginning of that viral thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He Well, the thing is, I would tell people when I was in the business, you know, when I was in the business just starting out and I'd be on shows with them, I'm like, you're not going to believe, they wouldn't believe me. I said, he's crazy. He's hilarious. It's funny. So I actually had the honor to wrestle him twice, once in Michigan and once in Ohio. Of course, I put him over, took the camel clutch and everything, but he was good, man. He was a good guy. And, you know, I wouldn't go out and party with him because I was like, he's trouble. You don't want to do that. But you said you had an Iron Sheik. You had an Iron Sheik figure.
Yeah, I keep it right here on my desk.
Let me see. Show it to the people. There we go.
I keep that's it like, right that's, here on my desk. It's a reminder to stay humble because of how often Iron Sheik would tell you he'd keep you humble.
Right.
He does a little Night to Roxbury dance.
We could play that music too before our show. Who sings that song? Oh my God. Oh God, I can't think of it now. Oh, the hell was it?
The Night to Roxbury song? I don't know who sings
it. Yeah, but you hear it. You hear it.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Dude, Night to Roxbury is a movie that I can quote from start to finish, from the every single line. And he's like, nozzle you, my friend. Like, that's how the movie starts, with him sticking a Twizzler up his brother's nose.
Oh, God.
And then he starts eating that Twizzler, and he's like, that was in my nose.
See, that movie would have been funnier if Iron Sheik was in it.
Oh, yeah.
I will humble you when you do stupid dance. Go ahead.
There's a story on a Marty Jannetty shoot interview where Marty Jannetty does an impression of Iron Sheik.
Everybody does.
And I don't know if you heard this, because if you did, it makes sense.
I don't have a memory of it.
He brought some girl up to a hotel room promising her that Marty Jannetty would be there. And then he gave the girl coke and entertained this girl and hung out with her. And then she started complaining about about how Marty Jannetty, where's Marty? And he's like, oh, I love Marty, but fuck Marty. And he's like, and then I gave her a short arm clothesline. The ambulance came and took the girl, because he
knocked her
short arm clothesline the girl.
I heard a similar story from Coco Beware, but it was Dino Bravo. She's like, oh, Dino. She goes over and he goes, he bought her drinks and everything. He's, God damn it. He got mad and knocked her out.
Yeah. Anytime I ever meet anybody named Marty, I always go, fuck a Marty.
Fuck a Marty. Yeah. The one I got was when we were expecting our first child, my wife and I, and this was, I want to say it was about middle of 2017 or 2015, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't help but notice. So you had the baby bump going out, belly was really sticking out, and the belly button just pops right out. It's like a done turkey. And I just looked at her, I said, you have a belly button like the Iron Sheik. she did not look.
She gave you short arm clothes on.
No, she put me in camel clutch and humbled me. That's what I'll do, you jabroni.
Dude, he popularized jabroni. Phrase that just came into our zeitgeist.
Yes.
The world knows that word because Iron Sheik gave that to us.
It's like it's Italian, what the Greeks would call malaka. Mm-hmm. That's the same word. Malaka. It's the same meaning. Yeah. Malaka. Malaka means jack off. I mean, like jabroni. I mean, it's like jabroni is just like a dummy, like dumbass. Like, what do they say in Mexico? Vendejo?
Yeah, I always thought jabroni had something to do with the fact that, like, you were a jobber, a jabroni. Like, I always thought
it's Italian.
Some sort of tie to it being like you're a jabroni. Like, in wrestling, a jobber is a jabroni. Like, to me, I always thought that that's what that meant. Like, when The Rock would say it in his promos, and he would be like, jabroni beating, jabroni.
Yeah.
He took
it from Sheik. Dwayne said that. He got it from Iron Sheik.
Yeah, and he kind of took that whole, like Ric Flair when he was like, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing.
Yeah.
Rock would say something like, the jabroni beating, pie eating, trailblazing, eyebrow raising. That's pretty great.
That was good. That was good. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Sheik was one of a kind. That's for sure. And
the real.
The real Sheik. Well, he was from Iran, and he tells a story too, because he told, if there's a Netflix documentary, I don't know if it's still on Netflix or not.
I have seen the documentary that about Iron Sheik. I saw it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I saw that one. It was interesting because he basically had to flee. He fled. I heard him tell the story. We were at I was before a show. We were at a cookout at somebody's house, and it was in Pennsylvania. And it was, you kind of like when you just eat a lot and you're sitting in a food coma. It was before a show, and he just started telling the story, like when he fled Iran, and he feared for his life. Deep down, he really loved America. That was all just a part of his gimmick. Was the America, dude. No, it was just his wife was American, you know. Mm-hmm. So no, he loved America. It's just it was a great gimmick, great heel gimmick. Mm-hmm. Oh God,
yeah,
unbelievable. Him and Nikolai as a tag team.
I never got a chance to meet Sheik, but I got to meet Nikolai a bunch. He was always to be around. He was never a negative energy to be around. Always positive energy.
No, Nikolai was good. Nikolai was good. And Sheik was good. I remember the other thing was when I was when I started my WWF run in 96 and Sheik was there doing, and they had a betting pool on how long he'd last before he get fired. Howard Finkel was running the pool. And I was like, oh, let me get on this action. Like 2 months, 1 month, you'll fuck it up. But they just kind of knew. It's like, I've been good.
there would never be another Iron Sheik in this world. There's the guy really kind of the same way. Like when we talked about superstar Billy Graham, it's like there's a level of like trailblazer here. Historic moments like there would be no Hulkamania if there wasn't Iron Sheik. There would be no there would be no kayfabe. Like remember he almost killed kayfabe with Jim Duggan getting pulled over. They were both like heel and face.
I remember hearing about it. I was in middle school. Or I was a freshman in high school, I think, when that happened. And they were feuding and they were riding together, which they shouldn't have been riding together. That was in the kayfabe era. You didn't do that back then. Yeah. I'm trying to think something else too. There was something else that there was another story with Sheik too that he did. I'm trying to remember it, but go ahead, keep talking. Cause I remember that there was the Duggan, it was the kayfabe era. And there was something else with Sheik. Oh, that's what I was going to get at. You heard the story that Vern Gagne offered him money to break Hogan's leg at Madison Square Garden that night.
I think I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that, but he wouldn't have done it if he wanted to, because Andre was there and Andre would have killed him.
Right.
If that would have happened. Yeah. He wouldn't have made it out of that locker room if he did it. But, but Hogan even said he didn't even know about that until afterwards. He had no idea, but there was heat between Hogan and Vern because Hogan just left. And so he didn't finish out his dates. Vince was paying him more to stay home because.
RIP Sheik. This one's for you. Also,
Sheiky baby. But Sheik wouldn't do it.
I want to acknowledge where this beer came from. And also say a quick RIP to Mr. McMullen, my friend, mm-hmm. my really good friend, James, his father passed away recently. He brought over some beers, left them in my fridge and said that these were the last beers. Him and his dad used to sit down and drink beers together. And the last of his beers he left here at my house. And I figured I'd use them as a tribute here today.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm glad to tribute Mr. McMullen.
Mr. McMullen, thank you.
Thank you. You made a good son. I like that kid. Good. Follow Jimmy Mac on TikTok.
Jimmy Mac on TikTok. All right, I'll do that. Is he on Instagram?
I don't know.
Speaking of following, you're at Corey Castle, Corey with a C, Castle with a K. Correct. I'm at El Marconi 251 on Instagram. Please definitely follow us. Give us a follow. See what we're up to.
I wanted to say around the 20 minute mark of our conversation here to bring up how We started this new thing on the Sunday Stew Pot where we're going to pick a new song to start the show with.
Yeah.
We didn't iron out the perfect production here this week. We're still new. This is only the fifth episode. Yeah, but
fuck it.
But the reason, so 1 week I'll pick a song. So last week we picked, was the first time we did it. That was like, you picked that song, the love.
Let the love flow. It was the Bellamy Brothers. Let Your Love Flow. It was a 70s song. Yeah.
And you picked that because you were overwhelmed with the support that we were getting and the love that we were getting.
Yeah.
With me, I picked The Pretender because
go ahead.
We watched that Walsh movie.
Oh, What Is a Woman? That got the 100 million plays, or I don't even know what it's at now. A lot of views on Twitter. Yeah, we could talk about that.
And
yeah,
I started thinking about like a lot, not just with the trans stuff. Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, that's a hot button trend right now as far as.
You think so? Jesus.
Things to talk about, things that get you canceled. But I think the thing is, I think what Matt Walsh was kind of pointing out was like, dude, look what Big Pharma's doing. We're not only are we like trying to kind of normalize this thing that you're taking stuff that you can't afford and you're signing a contract to kind of try to do some magic trick and pretend that you're a girl when you aren't. And I mean, you can identify. That's cool. I love that. I accept you. I fully accept you. But like what maybe you're doing is maybe dangerous and we can't call it dangerous or we're wrong. Like because Big Pharma's got all this money in like erasing people from everything. Like a lot of, I think erasing history doesn't change history. Because then you're just kind of doomed to continue to repeat the stuff. Like getting rid of Aunt Jemima didn't make slavery not happen.
Well, Aunt Jemima and slavery had nothing to do with the other. Right. Yeah. Or tearing down statues.
Right.
Tearing down statues and shit like that. Yeah.
I think it's toxic how people can be so e-racist.
E-racist. I love it. E-racist. That's good.
Yeah, it is like,
well, you got to learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it, right? I mean, that's, you got to learn from it and you got to understand it. So there's a lot more to the slavery issue than they teach you at school. There were blacks, free blacks that owned black slaves. That's a historical fact in the United States of America. There were other black people in Africa that caught black people and sold them into slavery. That is the truth. The Europeans came on the coast. They couldn't go into the continent of Africa until the mid-1800s because of diseases. They couldn't do it. They wouldn't have survived. So the Europeans went to the coast and bought them. They're guilty for buying them. Absolutely. I'm not saying they're free of guilt. But the black slave owners, the black slave traders also sold them to other Africans in Africa, other blacks, and they sold them to Middle Eastern Arabs. It's the truth. That's the way it was. It was a horrible part of history, but it's the facts. So I hate to say it, but you know, you can... I'm sure we'll get comments on that. Excuse me.
I
already downed my first beer in 25 minutes.
I want everyone to like truly be satisfied with who they are. And this is kind of, I think what I was
saying. Yeah. Okay. Back to it. Yes. Yes.
When I was sending you that podcast earlier, they were talking about like your past lives and the body that you were in your past life. And still feeling the residuals of that now and being like, where's my dick? Where did my, like having memories of your past life.
That and would like, be a horrible morning.
There was like a book that Pete talked about on there where he said, it was like some child was born and was like, hey, where's my husband? Oh, I know this man killed my husband. And she went and found the guy and was like, this is the man that killed my husband who after in her past life, this is the man that killed my husband. And this is where he buried him. They found that guy with the murder weapon that she said was took a hatchet to the head. I forget what book. I forget what book it was. I'd tell you if I remembered. But it was just like part of the circle of like the journey of the soul. So like what you feel in your spirit, that's so valid. I all the way accept that. But by getting corporate sponsors behind pretending like facts aren't facts, like when in the movie when he was like almost like this guy saying, look, oh, you're using the word truth like you're trying to weaponize it against me, and he's like, no,
telling the truth.
I'm just we're trying to say what the truth is, like we're not weaponizing facts. Facts are facts. You can't
right.
You can't pretend like they're not.
Well, once you do that surgery, that transition surgery, there's no going back. Yeah. That's it. I mean, and you're depending on what surgery you get, how much you get and everything else, you could be prone to infections. There could be complications. There's a high risk to it. It
gives you cancer. And
you talk about the hormone treatments.
Yeah.
That one guy
who was like, I think everybody should watch this movie. People won't. And I've tried to, I tried to send it around to some people and I've been told they just don't.
There's like, la, 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 la. It's like they hear no evil, see no evil. Did you see
that's why I picked the Pretender as the song.
Yeah. Did you see the part of the movie about Dr. John William Money? Did you see that part where the whole gender theory came from? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we paid because he ruined two boys' lives.
Yeah. And made twin brothers. They screwed up the ones like
private. David and Brian Remmer was their names. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then they raised the one as a girl because they accidentally messed up her privates.
Well, and his privates. Yeah. It was a botched circumcision what it was when he was about. He was young. He was still a baby. And the parents,
I think 8 months old.
Yeah, that's old to do a circumcision. Yeah. Usually circumcision's done within the first day or two. I had girls. So that, you know, but they asked us before my first two were born, if it's a boy. Well, we knew early with Callista through the blood test that she was going to be a girl. So they never asked us. But the first one, they said, well, if it's a boy, would you want a circumcision? And my wife just turned and looked at me. I was like, yeah, sure. So why not? You know, but it's just, that's what they asked me. I just figured it was okay to do it, but figured it would be safe. They're professionals.
If you had a boy, you would get him circumcised, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And you're circumcised?
Yes.
Everybody is circumcised.
There's only one guy in my whole, well, a couple guys that I would say there's one guy in my high school that wasn't. Mm-hmm. And we in gym class, they made fun of him. They called him head cheese. So that wasn't circumcised. And I'm not going to say his name. What's that?
Smegma over here.
Yeah. Well, I kind of said to him, I said, well, at least they're not making fun of anything else about it. So,
at least they're not going, look how little that skin flap is. That's that little tiny wiener.
Yeah. And yeah. So, and he was, how can I put it? He was of Arab descent. Let's just say that.
He was a what?
Of Arab descent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes way more sense.
Yeah. So, probably, yeah. Everybody that I know of in my family was circumcised. Every male that I know of was circumcised.
If you could take it back, would you have kept your foreskin? Would you have asked your parents to not do that to you?
Don't know. I can't picture a life with it. So it's like when I was talking to Elena about just certain things. Like, you know, you only know what you have your whole life. You know, you wouldn't know what it's like to be like, who's that one guy that was in a different documentary that I watched? It was about, this guy, it was called Unhung Hero. Mm-hmm. The guy did a whole documentary about penis size because his girlfriend wouldn't marry him because he was too small. So he got obsessed over it. So he decided to do research on it and all this stuff. It's called Unhung Hero. And I talked to Elena about it. I guess he did an interview with a guy and he was like below average, but by definition, half the population is. So he never said what he was. So, but there was a guy on there that's like, has like, he, I guess he was like the longest recorded, like the largest penis. I guess he's like something close to 18 inches, which is like,
something like that, which is insane.
I can't imagine.
They talked about that on Rogan yesterday.
Was it on Rogan? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, but the thing is that he's below average. He's like, oh, I'd love to have what you have. And the guy looked at him and said, no, you wouldn't, because he never has a relationship last that long.
Yeah. And like, dude,
it's only so much you need.
Girls, I mean, I don't want to speak for all women, but they're little. Like sometimes they're little and it hurts them. Like,
yeah, there's surveys that say that for 85% of the women surveyed are happy with their partner's size. Mm-hmm. They are. 45% of men are not, which tells you there's probably a disconnect.
Well, it's that guys compare themselves too much to these big, like you said this to me, like I think our first conversation we ever had, to these outliers that they watch on porn.
Yeah.
Like they compare themselves, like those people got cast to be that role, to play that part. Like they didn't just randomly go like, hey, you dude, get over here and pull your wiener out and let's hope it's big.
Well, I was talking to a friend because when I went to the urologist and I was just getting a local anesthetic and I was getting the vasectomy, we had conversations. It was just interesting. It was just because the nurse was there and everything. And it was just like, you know, just talking about it and how the urologist was that was a male, but he says he gets asked that all the time.
He's got to. Well, yeah.
And he said the average size of an erect penis is like 5.2 inches from pelvic bone to tip. That means pushing. If you have more body fat, it's going to push down more. It's going to look smaller. If you have less body fat, it's going to look bigger. But that's it. 5.2.
And if you shave.
Yeah, and shave too. Yeah, that's the two things you can do to make it. The pills don't work. The creams don't work.
Be skinny and shave.
Be skinny. Well, yeah, just be lean and shave. Yeah, that's the best things you can do. And I think, I found out, you know, because of course, when you hear that statistic, you kind of want to know where you're at. So, you know, everybody would be like, "Oh, what am I doing?" Yep. Yeah. But anyway, back to that whole movie. Boy, did this conversation go south? But I told Elena, like, because she has a friend named Mongo that's like 15 and a half, but his relationships don't last longer than 8 months, and it's just like, God, it's tough.
Which, he's never had a relationship that's lasted as many months as his penis is inches.
yes. well, no. I told Elena, I said, you know what? Be honest with you, I don't think I'd want to have that, but I wouldn't mind like renting it for a month just to see what it's like.
I think after a while,
I think I'd be done with it.
I think about that kind of thing, and this is a joke on Rick and Morty. But it was like, I thought about having a vagina and walking around with it and see what it feels like. That's interesting. But you can't magically do that. Like any pleasure that you feel, like there's no magic wand. There's no way that you can't automatically just magically be a girl. You have to go through a surgery and then you're that version of a girl that a surgeon made you. And you still have the genes of a dude. You still have the bones of a dude. You still have the muscles of a dude. You still have the structure of a dude. Mm-hmm. But like, we're going to try to pretend like somebody waved a magic wand at you. Be happy with who you are. I mean,
I think that's the problem. People aren't happy with, they're not accepting of themselves in their own lives.
It does make me incredibly sad. It makes me so incredibly sad. Yeah. The fact that like trans people, they're making themselves oppressed by holding a megaphone up to what their struggles are. Just like, I want for you to be loved and love the way I'm loved and I, you know, the way I'm loved and the way I love is the same thing I want for you. The same thing I want for you, Lou. The same thing I want.
I want people to be happy.
Whoever listens,
be happy. Be happy.
Just accept yourself. And inside of that, if you find people who accept you, stick to those people. Yeah. If the internet triggers you in some way, if there's a person around you who triggers you, distance yourself from that person. Like it's not as hard as everybody wants to like you're used to it being in a program that makes you upset and triggered and
right.
victimized right. and oppressed.
Right.
Remove yourself from that.
Right. I think the people to piggyback on what you said there, and just we're agreeing a lot here. And I think that they need help. I think they need psychological help, professional help. Just to say, just so, because the suicide rate is astronomical in that community. And even post transition or post surgery, it doesn't do anything. I think they're treating the symptoms and not the disease.
Right.
And I'm not a professional psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't have any degree in that. I'm not a doctor, but I have common sense. And I could say, hey, look, you're not, this isn't helping you. This isn't the right path. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't, it just seems like you're what would be the word to say? Mutilating. Your body, you're putting yourself through God knows what in hormone treatments. And you really, you know, you might need to just talk to somebody and see what's really the problem. There could be a lot of
perfectly when you said you're treating the symptoms, like you're treating the symptoms.
Yeah. And that's all it is. And that's what kind of Matt Walsh talks about. He's talking about this. And he's also talking about a social contagion because the younger generation of us, I'm a Generation Xer. I'm trying to figure out, you're about 10 years younger than me. You're born 83. Yeah,
I'm considered a millennial.
You're considered a millennial? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm considered Gen Xer. And then there's Generation Z, Generation Y, I think, after us. I don't even know what my kids are going to be. But the whole point is that, you know, we're older, but the amount of kids under the age of 18, the every generation, the amount has just skyrocketed. Of people identifying as this. And it's just like, wow, maybe they're not as closeted as they used to be, but that much, like 5,000% increase. Is this a social contagion? Is this something that, you know, we need to really look into? Because plus there's also specific areas of the country where it's happening. It's not happening in Ohio, in rural Ohio, where I live. No, it's happening because the school that my girls go to, parents wouldn't put up with it. If this stuff was being taught in their schools or anything like that, because you saw the school board clash with the, I guess it was Armenian immigrants that had kids going to a school in Antifa.
the part in the movie, like,
go back to the movie. Go ahead.
Talk about the fact that like they were interviewing, they had to anonymously interview teammates of transgender girl athletes who were competing against. Trans girls in sports and they had to black their face and be anonymous because they didn't want to have their lives canceled. They didn't want someone to make them not get a job because of an ignorant view on things. It's like,
it would have ruined them and they knew it.
Right.
They knew it. There's times like, I posted a Bible verse and I didn't get any negative feedback on it because it's the antithesis of pride. It's humility. And it was from James 4:10, which is in the presence, humble yourself in the presence for the Lord and he will rise you up or exalt you is actually the actual interpretation. So it's kind of like, I said, man, am I going to get in trouble for doing this? Screw it. I did it. You know, just what's wrong with posting a Bible verse, even though it's the, because pride, that deadly sin, you know, instead of pride, choose humility is what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is, I mean, being, it's one thing, it almost seems like, you know, if you were gay or lesbian, that was something. Oh, okay, cool. You know, but now it's like, oh, no big deal. Now you got to be trans. Now you're special. you know, you got to be, God knows what they try to say, non-binary, which I have no idea what the hell that means.
I truly believe that non-binary should be everything. Like, I don't think anything should be red or black, right or wrong. Any, like, there shouldn't be two options to anything. Like, I fully get that. There are the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's Holy Trinity to everything. So, yes. So go ahead and say non-binary. Like, I'm fully okay. I'm fully okay with.
You can say it. I would like it explained to me. Right. What the hell does it mean? I am non-binary.
I think it's just.
Well, let's do a little math here.
It's struggling to find an actual identity. It is fully not like having anything interesting enough about who you are. And like that comes out dick sounding like I'm an asshole. But like
oh well.
maybe you needed better friends. Like I think the thing is like maybe these people don't have good enough friends to be like, hey, this isn't what you are. Stop over dramatizing this.
Right.
And really like find something you want to be that isn't this force that kind of leaves everybody around you on edge.
It's a psychosis almost.
Yeah, because like
neurosis. That's a better word.
I truly don't want to offend anybody, but honestly.
I don't either.
I said this to you. The woman who opened for Louis C.K. on his Madison Square Garden show, she had a joke where she said, "Hey, transgender people, if I misgender you, you must forgive me. You understand mistakes. You were born the wrong gender."
Touche, my friend. Touche. Well, okay. And how could, in order to be trans, right? That stands for transition, correct?
Right.
In order to transition, you have to go from one thing to another thing, from one thing to another thing, right? From one thing to another thing.
I am Thumpkin.
Right. So you cannot transition from one thing to another. That means there's two and be non-binary because binary by definition means there's two. Mm-hmm. It's nonsensical. It's like saying you've got a one-way ticket round trip. It's like, what? Huh? That's my point. I think, like you said, I think they needed better friends. Well, and I know it sounds offensive, but
I think people do get wrapped too deeply inside of verbiage, and it is like word police.
Like Jabroni, we just call them Jabronis. Yeah, Jabroni. Hey, non-binary Jabroni.
Lou, do you think that grammar Nazis are also anti-semantics?
Yes. I do. Wow. That's good. I like that. That'll be a reel. We'll make this into a reel. Yes. It'll call me calling non-binary people jabronis. I'll get a lot of play for that. Yeah. During Pride Month of all places. I'm picking next week's song, and it'll be interesting. I love the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. I was working. Dude, I have so many gay friends. I have so many people in my life that are gay. I was working at the bar last night, and the one bartender, I was behind the bar, and the one bartender like tried to scoot behind me. And,
oh Jesus!
And as she was trying to scoot behind me, my friend Curtis, this gay kid, I call him a gay boy. Curtis was like,
we'll call him Gay Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis was like, he's like, when'd your ass get so big? Or so he said something like that. And the guy that he was with was like, He started saying another thing. I forget what he was trying to say, but he was trying to like say some flirty thing towards me. And Curtis slapped him in his face. He's like, "Don't flirt with my friend. Don't do that.
Don't flirt with my friend, Corey. He's straight." But, you and Brian Stelter just hang out. Oh,
but also I can't mean I'm making fun of Brian Stelter. That I sent you. In that episode I sent you today, the episode is the show is called You Made It Weird. He did.
Yeah.
Hosted by Pete Holmes.
I caught the beginning of it. Yeah.
He had his therapist that helped him in a lot of growth in his life. Kind of get more comfortable with himself. Right. He admitted to his therapist that he considers himself about 70-30 in like masculine to feminine. So he was like, you know, I'm like one of the gals in a lot of ways, but like I'm a straight guy. I don't think a lot of I'm the very same. And I was just saying this to you probably last week, or I know I've said it to you on here before, where I'm like, I'm pretty in touch with my feminine side. I don't really care about sports and manly stuff or what's considered masculine.
I think I do more than you do. Well, then again, you know, you said your mom is an Eagles fan,
right?
And I thought that was interesting. I was like, okay, that's great. Yeah, you know, there's women that I know that I talk to, especially on Twitter and stuff, that are Browns fans. We have like our own Twitter family community as fellow. We follow and we root for the same team. So that's fine. I'm wearing a Cleveland Indians hat, so the team doesn't exist anymore, but I still wear it. but yeah, the Guardians. They changed the name because they thought they got rid of the Chief Wahoo logo that's on my hat. This is an old hat. And then they had to change the name altogether from Indians to Guardians. Was anybody
in the indigenous community like clamoring for that name to be changed? Like real
there, was more clamoring about everybody? It was just offending a few people. The Wahoo logo offended them more than the name. So when they it's okay, you know, fine, we'll change the logo. We'll get rid of we'll retire the Wahoo logo. Okay, but there's also a little fishy story about the Guardians too. Was there was a local roller derby team that trademarked the name Guardians, Cleveland Guardians. So the Indians offered to buy it. They named a price. The Indians didn't want to pay it. So they tried to trademark it off of some island somewhere in the middle of the night. And as soon as they heard they were announcing that and they're about to put everything on sale, the owner of that team filed a lawsuit and they had to settle out of court.
Shyster Carney shit right there.
Oh, exactly. And that's why I said, even my dad was like, they're going to settle. Cause they could you imagine the embarrassment of that team that they couldn't do it and they had to pay a lot. I mean, so he basically, what he did was he got his money. So, really all they had to do is, that was a low rent move.
They robbed the Guardians roller derby team of their trademark, the way they robbed the indigenous people of their land. And
yes, exactly. Well, how the team name happened, just to give you a little background on it, up till 1915, they were called different names before that. There were the Blues, there were the Broncos, there were the Naps, because Napoleon Lajoie, a Hall of Fame player up until 1915, played for the team. Well, he got traded. He left. So it was 1915 and they needed a name. So I guess at the time the Boston Braves had a big year and they were a popular team. So they said, well, we call them the Cleveland Indians. And that's really what happened. And that was the sports writers came up with it. Then they tied it to there was a National League team that folded in the late 1800s that played in Cleveland called the Cleveland Spiders. And the first Native American to play professional baseball was James Sokolakis. He played in Cleveland. So that's kind of, they call him the Cleveland. They tied it into that, but that's not quite the reason, but they tied it into it. And the Spiders was an interesting story because the 1898 Cleveland Spiders have the most losses in the history of Major League Baseball because the owner owned a team in St. Louis and he owned a team in Cleveland. So he took all of his best players and put them in St. Louis. They lost 134 games that year. Out of they only won like 18 or 20 games. And they couldn't even play at home because the road team got shares of the ticket sale gate. Nobody was coming. The team sucked that bad because he took all of his best players and had a powerhouse team in St. Louis. That's why. And then the team ended up folding at the end of the year. So that was just a little interesting tidbit. I kind of went off on a tirade about the Indians and history of Cleveland baseball. So I hope anybody found that interesting.
I always cracked up over the names of sports teams, especially, you know, being from Philadelphia. Then the Philadelphia baseball team was the Philadelphia Phillies. So I thought, how lazy of a team name is that?
You got the Flyers, like, you got the Eagles, the 76ers.
I was just more talking about baseball.
Okay.
I was like thinking about, they should call the Pittsburgh Pirates, call them the Pittsburgh Pitties. And the Cleveland, they should call them the Cleveland Cleavies.
The land. I thought they could have done better than the Guardians. I thought Spiders would have been cool. Actually there was a Negro League team that played in Cleveland called the Cleveland Buckeyes, which Ohio State.
Buckeyes. Yeah.
That would have been, Ohio State nickname is Ohio State Buckeyes. If they called them the Cleveland Buckeyes, that would have been cool. Or the Cleveland Spiders, the Buckies. Yeah. The Bucks. It wouldn't have bothered me. There was different suggestions and stuff, but they went with Guardians because there's a bridge right by and there's Guardians on this bridge. There's like the Carnegie Bridge, which is close to the field where they play. That's where they kind of came up with it. It didn't really do much for me. I can understand removing the logo, but you didn't have to get rid of the name.
It's the same that back to the pretender. Pretend like that. We were offended so much that we want to just pretend like that also didn't happen.
So, yeah, I'm just thinking about that. Just like pretending things didn't happen. Like, okay, we'll just act like, things didn't happen.
Cleveland Pretenders.
Yeah. Well, somebody was like, there was a pitcher that passed away. He was a relief pitcher called Doug Jones. And he was an all-star pitcher and he was, everybody liked him. Is back when the Indians weren't that good of a team. And he was one of the guys that made the all-star game for the team and he died and people were like, Guardians pitcher. And other people were on Twitter saying, no, he played for the Cleveland Indians, not the Cleveland Guardians. So it's just something that came up that way.
Yeah.
I know.
You can't rewrite history that way.
Well, yeah, that's true. And plus I'll get into it with people about things like the history of what happened when the Europeans came and settled. It was the exact opposite of Europeans going into Africa. Europeans brought farm animals that the indigenous population did not have. They brought horses, they brought cows, they brought pigs, they brought chickens. They brought farming, which is something that population didn't have. Guess what that brought? That brought hoof and mouth disease, that brought chicken pox, that brought swine flu, and the indigenous population did not have the immune systems to handle that. 98% of them perished within the first 200 years of Europeans landing. And it just happened. That you're talking from 1492 to the late 1600s. There's an estimated 20 million indigenous people. It was down to 2 million by then. Well, and that's exactly what happened. That did more than anything else. Were there things that were done wrong? Absolutely. Was there atrocities? Yes. But also look at this. The Aztecs committed human sacrifice to their own people. So did the Mayans. The Eskimos enslaved other tribes and they engaged in the slave trade. I mean, slavery was a part of it. They fought each other. They conquered each other. They brutalized each other. And that's a truth. That's a fact of history. So they weren't just one homogenous group sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya. That wasn't what was happening. It's ridiculous to think that. So yeah. Were there things done wrong by white people, the Indians? Yes, of course. Of course there was. But they weren't.
Let's kind of fast forward a little.
Sure,
bit.
Sure. So I didn't mean to get off. Get on a tangent. No, go ahead, okay. Man.
I was going to say just to go back to the pretender and us talking about that.
Oh, sure.
Fast forward to
we went from Indians to trans people. How did that happen?
have it going to 1776. Let's fast forward to when you know, sure. America wanted to be independent from mm-hmm. Europe.
Sure.
They're, what if I say I'm not like the others? That's just that. That's in our spirit. We have that, that like rebellious heart that, like that. Don't tell me what to do. Stop trying to rule me. That belongs inside like the marrow of every American, you know, that they're like, you, everybody kind of hates their boss a little bit. Like not everybody, but there's most, a good amount of people can't yeah. really stand their boss very much.
That explains the Mr. McMahon character.
Yeah. And I like, I did this on stage once and it didn't get over as much as I wanted it to get over. So I never did it again. But, I was saying like, who here calls themselves a boss bitch? You know how like women call themselves a boss bitch? Like who does yeah. that? Can you stop doing that? Because I've had a million jobs and every boss I've ever had, I hated them. You're saying you're hateable? Go right ahead. You're a boss bitch. Yeah, out here making boss bitch moves, meaning like you're unsympathetic and you're profits over people. Yeah, that's a real shitty philosophy. Go ahead and advertise how toxic you are.
Please do that. Yes. Yes. Tell us how much of a boss bitch you are, so I know to avoid you at all costs. Right. I'd like yeah. to hear that. Well,
yes, it's a good profiling purposes. You know, like in Talladega Nights yeah. he's like, "What do you have this jazz music on the jukebox?" And he's like, "It's for profiling purposes." So we know what kind of jerks come in here and they play jazz. Don't come in here anymore.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Let's just. So, well, back to it, the Pretender stuff or even the trans things. I think like we were talking about erasing things and erasing history. And I kind of went down this rabbit hole about history and the 17th, you know, you're talking about even the history of this country that we could do hours about this stuff. And what we talked about, some guy tried to email me. Yeah, well, it's like about the 3/5 clause in the Constitution. And there's a reason that happened. And there's more to it than just saying, oh, blacks were only 3/5 of a person. No, they were the slaves. And if they were fully counted, there would have been an overwhelming electoral supermajority in the South. They wanted the Southern delegates wanted them counted, but they didn't want them represented. And we're like, how can you, but if they weren't somewhat represented, then there was a supermajority in the North. So as a compromise, they gave them 3 votes for every 5 heads. That's how it worked. So eventually that led to the Electoral College and the election of Abraham Lincoln. The 3/5 clause was completely eliminated by the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments of the Constitution. 13th Amendment eliminated slavery and indentured servitude, which enslaved white people. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, that's a whole other conversation. 14th Amendment was where you hear a lot of things of equal protection under law, citizenship, all that stuff. And then the suffrage came in the 15th Amendment.
And mm-hmm. something we don't talk about enough as people is how slavery is still around.
Absolutely. There's more people enslaved in the world now than there was back then.
Slavery. Absolutely. Still around, and sometimes they just call it prison. They'll make up some reason to throw somebody in prison, and that person's a paycheck to the prison industrial complex or whatever.
And the worst part is, Corey, to add to your point, if you're poor and you got to rely on a public defender to keep you out of prison, you're fucked. Because even if I was accused of a crime, okay, me, I mean, I'm not poor. I'm not saying I'm poor. I'm not, my last name's not Elon Musk. I'm not Musk. Okay. Or Trump.
Oh man, dude, please give me some nepotism. I want some so bad. I've been saying it so hard,
but if I have to take out a second mortgage on my house to get a decent attorney to keep me out of prison, I would have to. That's the fucked up part, because you got public defenders and they're not incompetent. They're overwhelmed. That's really what it is. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry to interrupt your point, but yeah, but if you're poor and you kind of, so, I mean, that affects everybody, but that's poor, but go ahead, man.
I think that's mostly my point. I was just saying, like, if there's so much more things than the one thing that one person gets offended by. The world is so much bigger of a place, and there's so many other injustices happening. Like, if you want to pick this to be the hill that you die on, like, maybe practice a little bit more flexibility and accepting and understanding of things. Like,
well, yeah, at the time, especially at the time these things happened, like 300, 400 years ago, slavery was over, you know, over 160 years, about 160 years ago, almost. Yeah. And keep in mind, 600,000 people died to end slavery. Well, in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a war to end it, but go ahead.
And it still exists in
right
in certain right. They
in certain
they
parts of the world, absolutely.
They enslave people in the Congo to get cobalt that makes the batteries that power our phones. So if you're going and complaining on a phone made by slaves about being oppressed, you're a hypocrite. Maybe be
with a capital H.
Less cherry picky about the things that you decide. I'm offended by this. Time to change that. Oh, you know what? You know what? The world will be a better place if this is more the way I want it to be, and mm-hmm. this is more the way I want it to be. And it's like, what is your ego? What is happening to you? Like, what is satisfying you? What is making you feel whole? And it's certainly not your relationships with people. It's certainly not having a healthy career or like work to life balance.
Work-life balance. Yeah.
Like there's more to life and happiness than cherry picking the stuff that you're trying to get changed, but you're not changing it. You're just pretending like it's like we're made a magic wand. We're waving a magic wand and acting like a bunch of stuff that's real isn't real.
Right.
And
much like what people are talking about, genocide of trans people. Similar to that.
There's huge protests supporting ending like chemical castration of girls in Africa. In certain continents in Africa, or in certain countries in Africa, but like here, it's like she's the queen. No, this boy's a queen. Let's chemically castrate him. Like, why is there a line? Why is there a line that makes that wrong and this not? I don't understand that. And maybe it's not for me to understand. I'm not planning on trying to change it for anybody. But I'm just saying, like. Maybe pick your battles a little bit better.
Can I say something? And something that I learned, and we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, oh, you wouldn't understand. You're not a parent. And I might say this. I didn't mean that to offend you or anything. Mm-hmm. But if you ever want to feel fulfilled in your life, you ever want to have purpose, you ever want to feel joy, true love and joy, have a child.
And
that completes you more than anything ever will. And I hate to say it.
Brother. I know that you're all the way telling facts because I'm not a parent and I don't want to be one. I'm not going to be one, but
miracles happen, Corey. Miracles happen. I'll just say that for you and Alyssa, miracles can happen. I'm blessing you.
I mean, I don't want to, here we go. You know,
do it this way. I'm the Pope. There's a will, there's a way, brother. Alyssa's listening. I hope she is.
I'm planning on getting a vasectomy at 40.
Like, there you go. There you go. Well,
what's happening?
That's babies still have been born after vasectomies. That was the funny part about the vasectomy. I didn't tell you this, but I had to have a certain amount of ejaculations. Then I had to go back. And I was like, I kind of told them, I was like, well, how many do I have to have? They said, oh, anywhere from like 12 to 15. And I said, okay, so I'll be back Monday.
Were you tracking them? Did you have a?
Oh, yeah. I was texting Elena. I was counting them.
She's like,
it's not a contest. What are you
doing? Ejaculation tracker?
Yes. I was sending her gifts of the count from Sesame Street. Two ejaculations.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
But you could, you understand it, but you could even adopt and have it having a child. And that's what I mean. So,
yeah,
that's
more likely. That's more likely. I mean,
Go ahead.
I have.
Before we wrap up, I want to talk about the movies we watched, and then we got to sign other movies.
I want to act like real quick. Let's in a hypothetical world, let's act like you're oppressing me and you're victimizing me and you're triggering me by bringing up that I told you I don't want kids and you're telling me it's going to happen. Like, I understand that the facts are there. I don't have kids and I won't understand.
Well, I'm just saying that gives you the best joy you can ever feel. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. I fully get it. Like, I understand having deep love for somebody and something. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I just, I can't.
I'm just kidding.
Dude, did you see outside? Did you see the world ending? Did you see is it foggy in Cleveland?
No, it's just cool. And it was cloudy. It wasn't that bad here. I'm a little bit closer to you than that. I'm east of Cleveland. I'm in Geauga County, Ohio, just southeast of Cleveland. But
in Philadelphia right now, like,
and New York, the whole East Coast.
We're seeing all of that. And it's 600 miles away from us.
Yeah. Like,
that's some biblical apocalyptic stuff.
Right.
And why do I want to bring kids into a world as uncertain as this? And I do truly want to love something, but why, if I truly love somebody, something like that deep, why would I want to subject them to this world? Right. You know, like, but I want to be a better role model to somebody than to go like, did you read that? There's a news article about some girl who's like suing her parents because she didn't have, they didn't have her consent to exist. Like, it was probably
stupid.
Some kayfabe news, like fake story.
Yeah, but it's like, probably bullshit. It's like, yeah. Like,
but
yeah, you're broken prophylactic in a case of beer. What do you want? So, I'm just God.
Hate,
so we're going to talk about the movies. We're going to talk about the movies real quick because I said something about Scarlett Johansson's bra. It wasn't, so you made me watch Lucy, which I liked and I enjoyed. I thought it was a very good movie. And Scarlett Johansson looked great, as she always does. And it was so I enjoyed it. Thank you. And you got to pick one for me next week, and I couldn't, like, you couldn't find the movie which was High Anxiety with Mel Brooks, so I switched it to something and to that you did not like at all. Go ahead, tell me about it. It was Car Wash with Richard Pryor and
Were like Car Wash with Richard Pryor and George Carlin. I was like, I love Richard Pryor and George Carlin, and then those dudes were barely in it, and it was like, and then it said written by Joel Schumacher. And I was like, oh, I like everything that guy does. And then I watched it. And I'm like, I'm bored as hell. And then they play that at the car wash song throughout the whole movie. I'm like
that. Yeah, that was a song. The song outlasted the movie, I think.
Billboards. I was like, the whole time I was like, I'm going to turn this thing off. But then.
Yeah.
If I turn it off, then I will be a liar and say, I don't want to say I watched this whole thing when I turned it off a couple minutes into it, but I have like a low tolerance for things that are like truly old because I'm such a filmmaker and I'm like, I have an eye for movies, stuff like that, like production wise.
I got an old one for you. You can watch on Tubi TV.
Don't give me another old movie.
Oh yeah. No. Do you like horror movies?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you'll like this. You'll like this. It's a horror movie. It's a thriller. It's called Black Christmas.
I've seen it. Is it Jamie Lee Curtis?
Nope.
No. That.
It came out in 1974. Is a Margot Kidder, Robert Conrad. there were two people you'd probably recognize. Robert Conrad was an actor. He was in the movie Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. And Margot Kidder played Lois Lane in the 1978 Superman movie. She was also in the original Amityville Horror. It's about a sorority house that has a killer in the attic, and he's making obscene calls to the girls in the sorority house, and the police find out the calls were coming from inside the house. So I just kind of gave you the plot.
1974.
Black Christmas.
It says that it's streaming on
Tubi. Tubi on TV? Yes. Yeah, Tubi TV for free. Check it out. Right. Black Christmas. It's a horror. I saw it when I was 10 and on cable, and there was things that were being said that I didn't understand because it's adult humor. Mm-hmm. It was kind of adult. I'm like, I looked at my, because I was at my grandma's and my mom's sister, my Aunt Nikki was there. I was like, what is she talking about? She goes, don't worry. Don't tell your mom you saw this. I was like 8 or 9 years old. Maybe 10. I was like, okay, all right, I'll just watch it. It was nothing really bad, was it? It was just the language was bad. But back to the whole Scarlett Johansson movie. Oh, yeah, thank you. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, yeah.
All right, I wanted to give you something you'd enjoy.
Oh yeah, no. I think you'll like Black Christmas. I think you will.
What is the genre that you're most interested in watching for next week's challenge or this week's challenge? I guess.
Well, I was gonna say my dream job would have been Dolly Parton's bra, but
I didn't say dream job. I said genre.
Genre. Well, I was joking with Elena about that, where there was one joke about the Make a Wish. Mm-hmm. And as a comedian said this, I guess he was talking about how he was.
Oh yeah, sad. Yeah, you did tell me about this. Yeah, okay.
Son is terminally ill and Make a Wish called, and they said, "Well, what does your son want?" He goes, "He wants to see his dad feel up Dolly Parton." I couldn't remember who said that, and the crowd busted out laughing. I was just like, because it was all like somber and serious, and then he just comes out with that, and it was like, "Oh my god!" Could you imagine telling them that? It's like, well, we can make that happen. And she's like in her 70s too. I told Elena, she's in her 70s, and I told her, I said, I don't care. I'd put my hands on those honkers. I don't care. I
would do it. They might be on the floor. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, take that bra off, and boom, they're just hit the floor.
Boobs are all different kinds of shapes and sizes,
and they still get our attention. You notice that?
Yeah,
they're hypnotic to men, the heterosexual men, anyway.
There are all different shapes and sizes of boobs.
Yes,
for sure.
Genre that I like. I'll tell you what. Anything like that could be like a mystery or a true crime type of thing. Uh-huh. I could go with that. Okay. Yeah. I'll just tell you that, and you can think of something, and I'll let you know if I saw it. But yeah, Black Christmas, I think you will like this. There's a woman that's the lead actress in it. God, her first name's Olivia. I think it's Olivia Hardy is her name. She had one other famous role. She played the Mother Mary, Jesus's mom, in the Jesus of Nazareth miniseries. Because you could see when you see her, you could see how she would pass for that.
Olivia Hussey,
yes, very beautiful young lady in that mm-hmm. movie. I mean, this movie's like 50 years old now. So, and Robert Conrad, he was in Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. He played the cop, played Nancy's dad in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Those are the two that I remember the most in. So, I think you'll like that. So cool. All right. Well, you know, we got the movie set, but you just got to pick a movie for me, and then we can wrap this up. And
did you ever see The Butterfly Effect?
With Ashton Kutcher, yes.
Have you ever seen Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon?
No.
I'm looking that up to see if it's streaming anywhere right now.
Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon. Let me see.
It's made by the guys who made Saw.
Ooh, I might like that.
And it's like going back to, like, you know, it's that classic action sort of cliche thing, like some people kill his son and get away with it, and he goes and hunts them all down, and then they go then they come after and they like kill the rest of his family.
It's streaming on Stars.
Yeah, do you have Stars?
Yeah, I could get it. Yeah, I could check that out. Also, another one that's interesting.
And Candy's in that movie too.
John Candy is in this.
I'm not John Candy. I'm sorry.
John Goodman. John Goodman. John Goodman. Yeah, John Candy died like Yeah, there's like some good John Candy movies. There's some really good John Candy movies that I love to watch.
Dude, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is
classic.
Annual. Every single Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving. Like we were watching. I was watching it this year at Thanksgiving, and I said to Alyssa, I was like, "Have you ever seen this before?" And she's like, "Yeah, we watched it last year."
Like, yeah, we watched it.
We'll watch it again next year. Okay.
So you sounded like Mitch Hedberg there. We watched it last year. We celebrate that 1 year anniversary when we watched the movie. Let me see. There was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He was in Stripes, but he had a smaller part.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, The Great Outdoors. Mm-hmm. God, what was he? It was God. There was a bunch of them. Oh, he did so many of them. But those are probably the top ones we just mentioned. He's a great comedic actor.
Wagons West or something. What was that? That his last movie that he did before he died.
Oh, was that Canadian Bacon? I think it was called.
With like Matthew Perry from Friends.
I think so. I something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, I think you're right. It was Wagons West. I'd have to look it up. But yeah, cool. So we could go ahead. You got me with. I got this here on my death sentence. I'll look it up. And I'll definitely watch it. And I just go ahead and watch. I found something I knew you could stream. It's called Black Christmas. Check it out.
Okay.
And we appreciate people watching. We got more. And yet we appreciate not the dick pics. We don't want the dick pics unless you're trying to be a producer.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead and send them to me. I need to compare myself to more
dingling. He's circumcised or not. Circumcised or yes. not. We want them.
The circumcision circumstances.
All right. Could you talk for a few more minutes? I got to relieve myself.
Okay. I'm gonna talk about real quick how we don't ever talk. Hang on a second. Close out for one sec. So it's just solo me. What's up, folks? Welcome to the Stew Pot. This is Sunday Stew Pot. Thanks for joining us. I'm Corey Castle. Lou Marconi is taking a pee-pee. I want to say something we don't talk about enough in this world is how the word force is right in the word foreskin, and we don't talk about it enough. See, you're either forced to have it or you're forced to not have it. It's forced skin. And let's talk about that. Just make sure, you know, if you're checking out the Sunday Stew Pot, like as far as like if it's on Reels or if it's on Shorts or if it's on any of that, you can check out the full video episodes of the Sunday Stew Pot only here on Rumble. You cannot catch them, the full episodes, anywhere else besides here on Rumble on video. Nope. So make sure if you want to watch us have fun instead of just listening to it, come join us over here on Rumble. And if you're already on Rumble and you're checking out our episodes here for the first time, if episode 5 is your first episode, go back and listen to the other ones and hit that follow button so you get new ones every single Sunday, because every Sunday at 9 a.m. you're going to get a new episode. What do we agree on 8 a.m.?
9 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. So 9 a.m. Eastern every Sunday right here on Rumble, you'll catch Corey Castle and Lou Marconi talking about a hodgepodge of topics.
Including circumcision. Yes.
Included but not limited to circumcision, gender politics, gender identity politics. I don't even know.
And feeling up Dolly Parton. Yes, we got to bring that up. Yeah.
Talking about chicks and boobs and gays and straights.
And straights and bis and tries and but non-binary.
This is a commercial right now.
Yes, this is what we're doing. We talk about anything. And if there's topics you want us to talk about, go ahead, send us comments. We did get some comments. Elena said we were very whiny, which was nice.
Whiny? Shauna, whiny?
Whiny. Oh, those were her words, whiny. Yeah, but I'm getting a lot of interaction with the reels, so I appreciate that more than anything. And hey, we'll just keep posting the reels. I don't mind doing it. We'll send out the episode, post the reels. Love it. We're proud of this show. We're glad to have this show, and I'm glad to have Corey here, and I'm glad to have you here.
We got you spend your Sunday pride with us. About the show. We have pride about. I'm so proud.
No, I think what we're doing is a good thing, and I think we're getting better as we go. I think I can feel the better flow in just in this episode alone, compared to the first couple. We're not talking over each other. We're not stumbling on our words, and we're knowing when to pause.
Mm-hmm. And we will, and we will get better, and we will still screw up. I mean, we're not perfect. We never asked you to listen to us because we're perfect. We never asked you to watch what we're putting out because we're perfect. We never claim to be perfect. I want you to have the same grace and forgiveness with me than you'd have with your best friend, your daughter, your son, your mom, your dad, any of that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, the feedback that I noticed the most on this was the thing I was hearing was that you're pretty much like the funny one on the show, Corey. Did you know that?
Probably. Yeah. I mean,
I'm the pretty one. You're the funny one, and I'm the pretty one.
That makes sense. That's the feedback you've been getting a lot.
Yes, yes. Corey's funny, and I'm pretty.
Yeah, you're the that silver fox.
Elena. Yeah, I'm the silver fox.
You're the silver fox, and I'm the jester.
Dude, do you get those like messages from like these? You could tell these women are bots on Twitter, Facebook, Twitter. Oh my god, it's hilarious. Oh. Yeah, like you must have daddy issues. I swear to God.
I don't have any time for any of that. Like,
I don't either. Do you ever mess with them?
I will block it. No, sell it quickly and not even think about it for another second.
No, like, I mess with them. I like to fuck with them.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell. They asked me if I'm married, and I said, well, they could see the pit. I guess some of them might actually see the pictures in my timelines or my profile and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they I'm married with a family, and I completely mess with them. I go, yeah, sorry, I'm just going through a divorce right now. Oh, sorry, what happened? I said, well, my wife divorced me because my penis was too big because sex hurt.
That's 18 inches.
Yes, 18 inches. I tell them I'm cartoon big. I can't even walk straight. You wouldn't believe it. Just to see, and they don't react. They're like, you're an asshole. Usually that's the response.
Do you remember this was a street joke probably from when I was a kid. There was like something about, oh, I got to confess, my dick's only 2 inches from the ground.
Yeah, if your legs were cut off, right? Oh, we could do dick jokes all night, Corey.
Yeah. I mean,
why not?
I don't know how many I have. I have one.
You have one. I mean, one dick joke or just one dick?
Just one dick. I did have a dream once, and this is a legit dream that I had that still sometimes flashes back in my head. I had a dream that I had two dicks that were this way. That like they were on there's this way,
one on top of the other.
Yeah, one on top of the like stacked this way.
What the hell would you do with that?
And I went on some dating app and I found a girl who said she had two vaginas, but they were this way. They were side to side. So I was like, how are we going to make this ever work?
What the hell are you talking about?
I must have been tripping. I don't know.
What'd you eat before you went to sleep? God. No, it's a...
Do you ever be like falling asleep with the TV or the radio on, and then have whatever's on TV or the radio find its way into your dreams?
I one time fell asleep watching a tape of the Royal Rumble, and I think it was like 89, and I could hear like the wrestlers being announced while in my dream. It was hilarious. I was like, wow, ho! I could hear how I saw Jim Duggan, ho!
Do you remember? Okay, there was a commercial. Tell me if you remember this. It was like Shaun White in like a boardroom meeting for Stride Gum,
the snowboarder.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was for Stride Gum and how long it lasts. And they're like, how are we going to get people to spit it out and chew another piece of the Stride Gum? And then he was like, oh, I thought of something. And then he had Sasquatch come into the room and he punched the guy in the stomach and the gum would come directly out. And he was like, oh, chew another piece or something like that. That commercial came on directly after a tampon commercial came on talking about how long lasting the tampons were. And I had a dream that Shaun White had Sasquatch come punch the tampon out of some lady's stomach. She punched the lady.
In the where did the tampon come out of?
It came out of her vagina.
Oh, okay. I was making sure, like not her mouth. Okay.
No, she poos.
That would have been a hell of a punch.
Yeah. Came out. Came out cotton first.
Wow. Sasquatch got a punch on him, man. I tell you. That could be a reel.
sometimes dreams stick with you.
Yeah, they do. They do. Oh, no. I think this show, we're a lot more relaxed and comfortable with each other. And I think it's going well. And those people that want to brutalize you in the comments, fuck them. The hell with them.
Yeah, but I'm pretty over it.
I'll still get those girls in their 20s messaging me on Instagram. Hi, handsome. And I'm like, you must have daddy issues. No sell them. So I'm 18 inches. You don't want me.
You're not even 18 years old.
Yeah, you're 18
you're not
years
even
old.
The amount of years old that I have inches on my pecker.
Well, that there, just a quick story before we go. And I did this. I was working as an editor in WKYC, the NBC affiliate in Cleveland. I was working on the nonlinear systems, which was the Avid systems. I was doing video feeds, stuff like that. It was a lot of high tech equipment. It was a state of the art facility that I was working at the time. And this, I want to say it was like 2003, it was like 20 years ago. And I'm in there just working, just doing my thing. And I guess there was a tour of people from Sony. There's all these Japanese people. And they talk like this. And I went in, I said, hi. There's a person from the station giving a tour. And the guy is like, Japanese guy, hello, we are admiring your equipment. And I had to be a smart ass. And I said, thanks. It's even like that after I go swimming. And the tour guide was like, I don't own this equipment. They just pay me to play with it. So that's pretty much it. But yeah, it was just funny. It was. She couldn't believe I said that. It was good. My girlfriend at the time was like, "You're such an ass." That's all she said. It's even like that after I go swimming. Well, I mean, these guys were Japanese, so you got to think.
What if I said I'm not like the others?
Yes. Not what you're used to, just so you know.
Yeah, maybe back up to the beginning of the show.
We'll do our if you want to, we'll do our movie. We'll talk about our movies again. We'll talk about whatever's going on. And if there's anything else you want us to talk about, Elena, leave a comment. We love you. Yes, right. We'll talk more about our penises and circumcisions. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we talked about that. Yeah. All right. Hey guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We appreciate everything. Have fun. Be good to each other. Be happy with who you are, and just be happy with yourself. We love you. God bless.
Give us a quick follow if this is the first time checking us out. And,
absolutely. Yes.
We appreciate all your support all the time. And
appreciate it.
As I always say, the currency of your effort is so invaluable that we couldn't measure it. So we appreciate that support and the love. Be fun. Have safe. Jesus and I love you.
We all love you. Thank you. Bye.